Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Cemetery in Congregation Mount South of 12th Avenue, York, Texas. Today is July 21, 2017, or it's the 28th day of the 4th month, 2021. It was our first sermon today, the song entitled Onward Christian Soldiers. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before. Yahshua the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host that sleep. On then, Christian soldier, unto victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, let your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before. Like a mighty army, move the church of Yah. Brothers, we are ready where the saints have trod. We are not divided, common body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy song, then with our sure voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor under Yahshua the King. This who countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Yahshua going on before. Prophecy in the Daniel Revelation, Part 5, says, we're on Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 101. It's titled, For the Day is Separating the Tares from the Wheat. Peter saw a time when Yahweh will judge the congregation. For the time has come that judgment begins at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Yahweh? 1 Peter 4:17. What would be the end of him who enters not the ark of the safety, but dares bar the way of others? As the prophet saw the day of the vengeance upon the sinner in Zion, and Yahweh returned from the slaughter, he asked, who is this that cometh from Edom, that dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, having the greatness of the strength. Others speak in the righteousness mighty to save. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I left, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury had upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Isaiah 63:1-6. Fearful is the day that is soon to fall upon the righteous, on the walls of Zion, for the righteous only shall be preserved. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 53. The separation of the pure from the impure is well described by the Ezekiel. Those who are worthy to escape the ruin will be marked by the man with the rod of Zichron, after which the five men with the slaughter weapon shall smite the class who are left without the mark. Said the Yahweh, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. Ezekiel 9:6-7. At this time the tares are separated from the wheat according unto the words of Yahweh, that both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:30. For the purification of Yahweh's congregation marks the harvest of the loud cry of the third angel's message. For the Yahweh of the harvest declares, and let both grow together until the harvest. The wheat gathered at the commencement of the harvest and at the separation from the tares in the church is called the first fruits of the harvest. As John looked upon the company, he heard a melody of joy, inexpressible by the human lips, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. Revelation 14:3-4. And no man can learn that song. Experience only can tell the joy and the one's heart at a time. When rescued from the everlasting ruin and granted everlasting life without tasting death, merged into the eternity's ceaseless ages, a life that measures with the life of the Yahweh. Confidence in men is Satan's future trap. We may search as far back as we desire, and it is certain that we shall discover to our surprise and sorrow that the congregation leadership has been so greatly deceived that in each period they failed to recognize the unrolling of the scroll, and as the blinded multitude took the side of the corrupted leaders against the revealed truth, they split Yahweh's congregation in numerous sections. Thus, by defeating the foremost, Satan has been able to engage them to labor for him, and thereby to overthrow the congregation as a body. To ascertain the accuracy of the foregoing statement, it would not be necessary to comment on facts beyond the first advent of Yahshua. Therefore, a brief survey of the Christian era shall be considered here. Satan had drawn the dirt brush over the eyes of the highest human, the intellect, at the close of the Old Testament dispensation. Their spiritual eyes are so skillfully pastured that they could not see a bolt of lightning as bright as the sun in the darkest night. The fulfillment of the prophecy, the miracles surrounding the birth of Yahshua, his spotless character, his unselfish labor, and wonders in every step, touch, look, and act fill the very atmosphere with the divine love. Men who were destitute of the sense of sight from their birth felt the healing power of the Infinite One. The blind saw the Yahshua, the glory, and praised Yahweh. But the religious teachers of the Israel were not affected by the power that moved even inanimate objects. The earth quaked and the sun veiled its face. The rocks were rent and the graves were opened. The dead arose and beheld the Son of Yahweh, but the proud Pharisees, priests, and rabbis, esteemed as never erring, could neither feel, see, nor hear. There is no wonder greater than the one written by the actions of the blind leaders of that age. John, speaking of the experience, says, "In him was life, and the life of the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That is John 1:4-5. Every possible ray of the light pointing unto the coming of the Lamb of Yahweh had been given unto the once chosen people. "But it profited them not," said Yahshua. "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" With that, these experiences could arouse the leaders and the people at this present time from the self-confident and counterfeit security unto an earnest search of the positive Bible truth. The early Christian church was not, in like manner, was dragged into the dark ages. As soon as the apostles passed away, Satan marshaled his agents, men of renown, into the congregation. The already blinded leaders laid their hands on them, not from the viewpoint of consecration, but from distinction, and thus made them shepherds of the flock. In the darkest hour of the apostolic congregation, Yahweh, by the hand of Luther, called the attention of the multitude unto the terrible deception that few were ready to listen to the humble monk. One would imagine that the most intellectual would have been the first to see the light in the plain, thus said Yahweh. Luther, with a great struggle and at the risk of his life, founded the Lutheran denomination. But as he passed away, that movement in like manner was corrupted and hardened against new light on the word of Yahweh. As John Knox came with the additional truth, the leaders of the congregation refused to be interested. Thus necessity gave birth to the Presbyterian denomination. And these experiences have been repeated with Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and White. See Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 32-114. We have far more to fear from within than from without, for the hindrances to the strength and success are far greater from the congregation itself than from the world. Review in Hell, March 22, 1887. If the danger against the congregation had been from within, through confidence and self-deceived leadership in every age, what would change things at the present time? These facts concerning Satan's sure traps echo and re-echo with the loudest wail to arouse the sleeper at this particular time. Hear the trumpet sound. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Isaiah 52:2. Prejudice with dependence upon men, and confidence of having all the truth, that there is need of none, has devoured more souls than any trap ever devised by the enemy of mankind. the class has set the decisions of others without investigating for themselves and refuse to be interested in the hearing and reasoning of the scriptures, have been deceived concerning present truth and every age. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yahweh. For it is written, He taketh the wise in her own craftiness. And again, the Yahweh knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. Men who are esteemed great by the world, Yahweh can seldom use. In general, the great educators of the age are carnal-minded. Therefore, the product from the schools of men is enmity against Yahweh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be, Romans 8:7. If Yahweh would use them, they must first, as the great apostle, deny themselves. It said to Paul, to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Yahshua should be made of none effect. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1:17-19. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Yahweh, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Yahshua Messiah and Him crucified. When I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. 1 Corinthians 2:1-4. For the Yahweh took Moses to the desert, and there under the supervision he trained him for 40 years. And Moses unlearned all he had learned in the schools of the Egypt, and only was Yahweh able to use him for an instrument of his mighty arm. When Moses felt capable to deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage, he failed. But when he saw himself helpless, then he was strong. If Yahweh should give great light to a man who is high in his own esteem, and held likewise by the world, man would glorify himself and rob Yahweh of the glory. At this time Yahshua answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Elohim of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. For the Yahweh reveals himself through the instruments and ways least suspected by men. Thus he performs a miracle by making impossibilities possible, revealing his power and arousing the sleeper from the light and voice divine. Men of distinction have seldom accepted any light upon the word of Yahweh, simply on the value of his truth. This class generally accepts biblical truth after it becomes popular, and when preached by men esteemed higher than themselves. Said the prophet, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostril. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. It is better to trust in the Yahweh than to put confidence in man. Psalms 118:8. The prophet Micah, looking forward unto this time of the carnal security, said, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Micah 7:5. Trust ye not in a friend. Okay. Yahweh's people must learn to look unto him only, depending upon the plan of thus says the Yahweh. He may use a human instrument to communicate light, but it will shine on the never-erring word of Yahweh. Such light will dispel sin and rebuke the sinner, exalt Yahshua, glorify Yahweh, and debase men. The lofty looks of man shall be humble, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day, for the day of Yahweh is of the host shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Isaiah 2:11-12. Satan knows how to deceive so that it can not be easily detected, for he studies the inclination of the people, and the thing which appeals most, he sets as a trap, because the generation is trusting in the human intellect and are willing that others should think for them. The devil will present to this class the most dazzling personality the world has ever looked upon, said the apostle, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. The obvious instruments for the communicating light upon his word will be the opposite under those of Satan. I thank thee, O Father, Yahweh of the heaven and earth, said Yahshua, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, Matthew 11:25. To the prophet Isaiah it was revealed that Yahweh will use humble men to debase the proud. For behold, Yahweh, the Yahshua, the host, shall take away. Behold, the Yahshua of the host, this is actually Yahshua, the Son, shall take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of the bread and the whole stay of the water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50s and the honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, the babe, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, and every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Isaiah 3:1-5. Said Yahshua, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as his little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me, Matthew 18:4-5. A brief summary of the leopard-like beast. It has been previously proven that the leopard-like beast, by his 7 heads and 10 horns, is a representation of a universal system. For the 4 beasts of Daniel, 7, namely the lion, bear, leopard, and the nondescript, were shown in the vision as 4 universal empires coming up one after another. Thus, the prophecy as well as history proved that Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome succeeded each other. This unbreakable chain of the 4 links makes it impossible to intersect any one of the 4 beasts with a universal system. Therefore, the leopard light must come in line after the 4th beast, as the 10 horns of the nondescript beast represented 10 kings that were to arise from the Roman monarchy. The crowns on the horns prove that the leopard-like beast represents the period after the fall of the Roman monarchy, at which time the 10 kings received their kingdom, as he also came out from the sea. It is evident that he too was to be created from the result of wars. Thus, the fall of the Roman monarchy gave birth unto a 5th beast. His mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and 10 horns show that he is a descendant of the Babylon, Middle Persia, Grecia, and Rome. As he opened his mouth in blasphemy for 42 months, or 1260 years, it is undeniable that he represents the papal period from 538 AD until 1798 AD, the time in which the papal head received its deadly wound. But as his wound was to heal sometime after 1798, it is evident that he also represents the world's history after the imprisonment of the Pope Pius VI. Upon the time his deadly wound was healed, these periods gave birth unto Catholicism and Protestantism. It would have been unwise and useless to devise this prophetic feast if the symbols would fail to reveal Protestantism as they do at Catholicism. Before the 1260 years ended in 1798, the four Protestant denominations already in existence, namely Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Christian. But after 1798 came the First Day Adventist and the Seventh Day Adventist from 1844 to 1929, completed his seven heads. As Protestantism fell by the declaration of the second angel's message after 1844, and as the symbol of Revelation 13 in 1930 revealed that the Seventh-day Adventist wounded after the beast, the world, these two incidents healed the wound and drew the blasphemy over all seven heads. Thus the complete fulfillment of the symbolical prophecy revealed the truth of the beast. As all other sects are but of offshoots from these seven bodies, the heads included all of the apostolicism up until the 1930s. As the prophetic word of Yahweh says, all the world wondered after these worldliness, and not after head papacy. It denotes that they have wondered after world and not after Catholicism. Out of this great apostasy, the message of Revelation 7:1-8 will seal and save the 144,000 saints from the SDA congregation who shall never taste death. But the message represented by the angel of Revelation 18, with whose glory the earth is to be lightened, will cast out from the world the great multitude of Revelation 7:9. Will call out from the world the great multitude of Revelation 7:9. Yahweh, who is so particular for the good of his congregation and the revealing his truth unto his people, has presented unto us wonderful pictures of his historical event that is the evidence of love everlasting for Israel. He has chosen the first fruits of his harvest, thus the Elohim of Jacob, thousands of years in advance, had laid his plans to present unto his people a work of the prophetic art with the divine touch. Okay, that's the end of the summary on the leopard light beast. We'll go now into our next study, the two horned beast of Revelation 13:11-18. Okay, let's start verse 11, Revelation 13. As John beheld a vision with intense interest, his attention was directed to another striking object, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, Revelation 13:11. Just about the time the second and last stage of the nondescript beast was to terminate, another earthly power was to come upon the stage of action. According to the vision, it is wonderful to note how accurate the symbols are, even under their proper time and order. The beast, having lamb-like horns, promise of growth, is an unmistakable symbol of a nation, slowly arising as from a small plan to a mighty empire. Lamb-like is descriptive of the government arising in 1776 A.D. See the Great Controversy 439-441. This beast has been accepted as a symbol of the United States. Therefore, our intention is not to bring forth facts pertaining unto its application. Our aim is, as previously stated, to briefly connect one beast with another by throwing light upon symbols which have not been understood. It will be noticed that every beast representing the New Testament time has 10 horns, except this one. We repeat that the 10 horns stand as a symbol of the universal system. This fact proves that the two-horned beast represents a local government. As silver powers Our governments are symbolized by horns. This particular beast having two, it is evident that the nation represented by this symbol shall have a double form of government, as John says. The beast spake as a dragon. It clearly reveals that it is to repudiate its constitution. And the Elohim given liberty of his subjects will be taken away. According to the Revelation 13:12, this power is to imitate the beast before him, the papal rule. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So that's what they're doing right now. They're worshiping this first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. They've repudiated our Constitution. We've got a president now that is fighting to restore this Constitution. So this shows you where we're at. The battle is ongoing now between the Lamb and the Dragon. It has been engaged. When Donald Trump took the presidency, or when he threw his hat in the ring to run for president in 2015, when he started his campaign in about June of 2015, Donald Trump declared war on this beast. If this great nation should presume upon the conscience of its subjects by legislation, as to how they may or may not worship, it would be contrary to the provisions in his Constitution. Speaking as a dragon, according to the United States Constitution, the First Amendment concerning religious matters states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If this country should repudiate this amendment, it will completely meet the symbolic specifications of the following of verse discloses the fact that the old dragon shall exercise his power to deceive as many as possible. And he does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Revelation 13:13-14. Thus he is to exercise persecutive powers as well as the working of miracles. As the word exposes this great deception, one would think that the world would open its eyes and refuse to be charmed by such satanic wonders. But Satan knows that the people are unmindful of the word of Yahweh, and that their emotions are easily moved by the supernatural marvels and the eloquence of men. Therefore, he will perfect the contrivance, and many will fall into it regardless of warning. For the human mind cannot comprehend that mysterious and irresistible power that is soon to spread its dreadful shadow over the inhabitants of the earth. No mortal being can stand against that supernatural, civil, and religious system. Those who are students of the Word, trusting in Yahweh without reservation, and thus fill that the Holy Spirit will escape that dreadful trap. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. Testimony for the Congregation, Volume 5, page 53. The only safety will be the safety of it. They must look to Elohim as their only deliverer, as did the three Hebrews in the ancient Babylon and as Daniel in the lion's den. Let the consequence be what it may. Elohim's people can find shelter only in taking the position of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as when they answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3:16-18. The other hand, people with Daniel will be able to say at the time of their deliverance, "Now Elohim has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Daniel 6:22. "And such time of the trial it shall be clearly seen who will serve Yahweh and who will not. That time of trouble shall divide the earth's inhabitants in two separate and distinct classes, as sheep and goats." Ooh. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might bow or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Revelation 13:15-17. "This drastic decree of the two-horned beast shall be adopted by the nations of the world, and the image of the beast, which will demand obedience unto an ecclesiastical form of worship, will be international set up. The mark of the beast is Sunday's observance. Under one pretext or another, the careless and indifferent will worship the image of the beast and receive the mark. Only those who have fortified themselves with the faith in the Yahweh, knowledge of his word, and obedience unto the divine precepts through the sanctification of the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit will be able to escape the clutches of the devil." Now, V.T. Hallett, he said an awful lot there in that statement. I'm going to reread that. "Only those who have fortified themselves with the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the Father, knowledge of his word, and obedience unto the divine, all the divine precepts of the sanctuary service, including the daily, through the sanctification of the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, will be able to escape the clutches of the devil, and Yahweh's people are restrained from buying and selling. Their only source of sustenance will be through the divine power. One way or another, for that short time, Elohim will provide and care for his people. But it may be in a similar circumstance as in the wilderness journey." Okay, "the time is not far distant when, like the early disciples, we shall be forced to seek a refuge in the desolate and solitary places, as the city of Jerusalem by the Roman armies was a signal for flight to the Judean Christian. So the assumption of the power on the part of our nation and the decree enforcing the papal Sabbath will be a warning unto us. It will then be time to leave the large cities preparatory unto the leaving the smaller one for the retired home in the secluded places among the mountains. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 464 and 465. For the 18th verse, Revelation 13 will be explained in another study. The Scarlet Colored Beast, Revelation 17. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." Revelation 17:3. This particular beast cannot be a symbol of Rome, as some have thought. So the first reason is that the nondescript piece of Daniel 7, as previously explained, is a symbol of Rome. It was seen coming up from the sea. But the scarlet colored beast, John says, was in the desert. Therefore, the forces that brought the scarlet colored beast on the stage of the action is the opposite of that which produced the nondescript beast. The second reason is, as the angel was about to show the vision to John, he said unto him, "Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Revelation 17:1. Then John was carried into the wilderness, and there he saw the woman riding on the beast. The reason the vision is given is to show him the judgment of the woman. But she was not judged in the days of Rome. Her judgment is yet in the future, and will be executed under the loud cry, angel of Revelation 18. See verses 8 and 10. For the riding on the beast is her last act. Therefore the beast must represent the period in which she is judged. There is a third reason why the beast cannot be a symbol of Rome. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation were written especially for the generation living at the time of the end, and not so much for the Roman world. See Daniel 12:4. They had no understanding of the writings that pertain to the last days, and thus could not have profited by them. Therefore, it would have been improper and unwise on the part of Yahweh to apply all the beasts to Rome and leave the period under which the books apply without symbolical representation. We believe that there must be more complete symbolical information for this present generation than for any previous one. Thus it is very inconsistent and unreasonable for those who have applied the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13 and the scarlet color of Revelation 17, in addition to the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, as symbols of the Rome. Why so many symbols of Rome and none of the period for which the books were written? Furthermore, there are no facts to support such claims. The greatest reduce to such assertion in that they derive the same lesson from one beast as they do from the other. If there is no special lesson in each of them, why are they given? Applying the heads as they do the horns to symbols of governments shows that they have no light from the great and all-wise Yahweh. If each term means government, why did inspiration use both horns and heads? Note how unreasonable it is to apply the woman riding on the beast or sitting on the head of Catholicism, or true Catholicism, in the New Testament time, and the heads to seven consecutive forms of government in the Old Testament period. Said the angel, "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits," Revelation 17:9. If the papal church came into the existence in 508 A.D., how could she sit on any government centuries before? Again, if the heads succeeded each other, where is the proof? Are they not all present on the beast and the woman sitting on them, as a scarlet-colored beast by his 10 horns and 7 heads proves to be universal? The successful chain of the beast, the lion, bear, four-headed leopard, nondescript, and leopard-like, make it impossible for another universal beast to intersect the unbreakable chain of the 5 links. Such an act would be an attempt to overthrow prophecy and history. Therefore, the only period he can possibly represent could be the one after the deadly wound of the leopard-like is healed, becoming a 6th universal beast. Since the scarlet-colored is the last in the symbolical possession of beasts, he must possess all the characteristics of his ancestors. The 10 horns of the nondescript beast, the 7 heads of the leopard-like, and his own unhorned head show that He comes on the stage of action after deadly wound is healed. His scarlet color denotes curse as it does on the dragon, devil, Revelation 12:3. And the words go into perdition, Revelation 17:11. He revealed that he is to bring this world to an end by a curse that will result in the entire ruin, utter destruction, future misery, or eternal death. Standard Dictionary. Therefore, if this beast represents our world at the present time, would it not be unwise on the part of Yahweh if he should have neglected to foresee the present day multiplicity of the sects and the great confusion among Christendom? If the symbols by this beast fail to reveal the true condition of the churches, as a nondescript beast tells the fall of the church in the period he represents, so must the scarlet color. In fact, this is the principal reason why these prophetic beasts are presented. For the secret color, the scarlet colored beast is the last symbolical beast in the contentious chain of historical events. The beast does not arise from the sea like the beast before it, but was seen in the wilderness. Therefore, the scarlet colored beast is created by an historical incident, unlike the beast before it. The symbol denotes that it is not strife and wars between the nations that brings this beast upon the stage of action, but rather a principle that is the opposite of the symbol trouble sheath. He has 10 horns and 7 heads, the same as the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1-3. The only difference between the heads of the two beasts is the deadly wound on the leopard-like, and his wound is healed. It is evident that the scarlet color is a continuation of the leopard-like, says John, and his deadly wound is healed. Thus, the scarlet colored beast has 7 unharmed heads. The 7 heads represent Christendom, as they do represents the house of Israel. Doesn't represent Christendom. The 7 heads represents the 7 churches of Asia, the candlestick there, the Israelite churches, as they do on the leopard-like beast. But it is the symbol of the scarlet color that they are called Babylon, as he is full of names and blasphemy. It verifies the fact that he represents an exceeding sinful period. Full of names implies a period of great multiplicity and so-called Christian sects and blasphemy, because of rejecting present truth, refusing to be corrected, and yet dare to call themselves by the name of Yahshua Christians. Okay, it says the 10 horns denotes the same as on the beast before it, meaning a universal system. If the heads of the leopard-like beast represent religious organizations, then the scarlet-colored embraces the entire present civilization, both civil and religious, horns and heads. Note that the dragon in Revelation 12:3 has a crown on his head, not on his horns. It has been previously explained that when the crowns appear on the heads, it denotes a religio-political system, but if they appear on the horns, it reveals that the state is independent of the church. It will be noticed that the scarlet-colored beast is crownless, as the nondescript of Daniel 7:7-8. The 10 horns in the first stage of the nondescript beast representing imperial Rome, they had no crown because they had received no kingdom as yet. But in the second stage, after the fall of imperial Rome, in reality they should have been crowned. The little horn, having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, a combination of a horn head, union of church and state, the papacy being supreme. The horns could have no crown, showing the papacy was to rule over kings. The scarlet-tailed beast is also controlled by the woman, riding on his back, church and state. Thus, it denotes that she is the authority or crown, or the crown, for she rules the beast. This is Mystery Babylon. This is one of the reasons why the crowns are absent on this beast. The last is an image of the fact. First, verifying the fact that the scarlet-tailed beast represents the image of the beast, period, fulfilling Revelation 13, 12, and 15, and exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound is healed. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. The difference between the two drastic systems is revealed by the two symbols, horn head on the one and the woman riding on the other. The nondescript beast with only one horn head, a symbol of a mono-sectarian system by the alliance of civil power with religious creed. But the scarlet-tailed beast has seven heads, which denote a multi-sectarian combination under supreme religio-political jurisdiction, a woman. He represents our world at its end, with its sovereign authority and theological theology under the dominion of the woman. The period represented by the scarlet-tailed beast commenced in 1929, at which time the deadly wound was healed. But his career is not fully developed until the woman shall sit upon his back. The commencement of that act will be marked when the following prediction is fully realized. When Protestantism shall stretch forth her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss for the clasping of the hands with the spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of this Constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and it shall make provision for the propagation of the papal falsehood and delusion. Then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of the Satan and that the end is near. Testimony for the Congregation, Volume 5, page 451. Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. The beast that thou sawest is scarlet colored, said the angel, was and is not, as previously explained. The beast first began to appear on the stage of the history in 1929. Therefore, the word was represents the period from the above stated date up to the time when he will be not. The period represented by the word not is the 1,000 years of Satan's captivity, millennia, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, that 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season, Revelation 22 and 3. This period commences with the second coming of Yahshua and the end of this present world. At that time, the scripture of Revelation 20, verse 6, will be fulfilled. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, that they shall be priests of the Elohim and of the Yahshua, and shall reign with them 1,000 years. As the righteous dead are raised and united with the living, then the prophecy of Jeremiah shall be fully realized. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was as a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of Yahweh, and by his fierce anger, for thus hath Yahweh said, the whole land shall be desolate, Yet will I not make thee full in. Jeremiah 4:26-27. When the cities are broken down and the land laid waste, then the hope of the redeemed shall be accomplished. For Yahweh himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in Yahshua shall rise first. And we which are alive remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. At that glorious time when the saints depart, the earth will be left in darkness as described by Jeremiah. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent. Neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. Jeremiah 4:28-29. He says, then, as the saints enter into the pearly gates, John's vision will meet his fulfillment. I saw throne they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Yahshua 1,000 years. Revelation 20:4. For the righteous shall spend 1,000 years judging the wicked dead. For further study of the millennium, see Patriarchs and Prophets 103, Great Controversy 321 and 662. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according unto their works. Revelation 20:5-12. The books contain the records of the wicked, and the book of life is opened and examined by the saints. And in it they behold only the names of the righteous. The names of some who once appeared in it were blotted out, while the names of others were never entered between its pages. This brings the program. Let's let this out. Contact us at the 11th Hour Corners, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
This is my Father's will, and to punish me here, all nature sings and round me rings, the music of the sea. This is my Father's will, and it's me in the fall. Of rocks and trees, of skies and sea, his hand of wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols ring, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's will, he shines in all that's fair. In the rusting grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's will, oh let me never forget. That God the wrong seems are so strong, God is the ruler, yeah. This is my Father's way, that the Lord is not done. Yes, Lord, who does shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be